Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the SAF-Holland conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed in listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Haas.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side, and welcome to today's conference call, which was rather on short notice, at the occasion of preliminary P&L figures for the second quarter of 2018 and guidance adjustment for the fiscal year 2018. So once again, thank you for joining. CEO Detlef Borkhardt and our CFO Matthias Heiden will take turns in presenting the developments, and as always, as you used to, after the presentation, we will have the opportunity for a Q&A session, so please feel free to ask any question you will have. Thank you.
Yeah, Stefan, thanks. Also, warm good morning from my side. Welcome, everybody, to our this morning's conference call. Stefan said, thanks for joining us. As usually, I will start this today presentation and we'll hand over to Matthias in between for a couple of slides. In total, we have 15 slides this morning, so a little bit shorter as usually, but we are going to guide you through this. I would like to start with the agenda on page number 2, where you see 5 bullet points. I'm going to start with the guidance adjustment for the financial year 2018. This will be 2 pages that will be followed by a business summary. We will talk about the preliminary key financial figures for Q2 only. That will be followed by regional trends, of course, with a focus on North America, our business development over there. And finally, we will talk about the adjustments for the group targets in sales and earnings for the financial year 2018. Yeah, with this, I would like to jump to page number 3, with the business summary and the guidance adjustment. As you can see, there are 3 bullet points. Let me start with the first one. Based upon the preliminary Q2 figures for this year, we expect further developments for the remainder of the year. We, as SAF-Holland, we adjust our sales and earnings targets for the full business year 2018. So, what's new now? There are mainly two points. First one, that is bullet point number 2 here, considering our group adjusted EBIT margin, we now expect the group's adjusted EBIT margin to come in within a range of 7 to 8%. Our guidance was previously in the range between 8 to 8.5%. Secondly, due to the stronger than expected organic sales revenue trend driven by both upbeat markets and the underlying structural growth in the first 6 months of this year, we step up our sales forecast for the full year of 2018. So what is new now, we will have organic sales, or we are going to increase our organic sales this year by 5 to 7%. Previously, we said organic sales will increase to 4 to 5%. So going more into the details, I would like to turn your attention to page number 4 of the presentation. What is the reasoning? First of all, let's talk about the half year in 2018, the results. The sales growth of 9% came in with an adjusted EBIT margin at 6.9%. 2 underlying factors here. First of all, the current market environment marked by continued soaring customer demands, and this because of the strained industry supply chain. We believe that comes together, now that together with our new production network ramp up and the alignment, we believe that the slower than expected, especially in Q1 and also now in Q2, and this caused additional operational expenses. Just 2 numbers for your convenience about the market development. In the Class 8 truck market in North America, the numbers we have seen from January to May, the June numbers will be available very soon, but in the first 5 months of the year, the order intake for Class 8 trucks was up 58%, 5-8, and we still see that growing. On the trailer side, or other big market in North America, we saw an order intake increased by plus 10%, and also this is going on further. So both is a big constraint for the entire supply chain in North America, and of course we are part of that. So, and on top of that, we have burden and effects and risks from rising steel prices in the U.S. We are on very, very high levels now, much higher than expected in Q2, but also going forward, we see we might see a further increase in steel prices, which is very difficult to predict in these days. And so this is, of course, a burden and effect. As you know, and we continuously repeating that, we can pass on price increases, steel price increases to our customers. This is contractual giving. But, and this is the big but here, this is always with a delay of approximately 6 months. On the next page, page 5, I would like to talk about Q2. Bullet point number first. In Q2 2018, our sales growth was 15%, and this is, by the way, the historically highest Q2 ever, with a sales level of approximately 345.4 million euros. Previous year was 300 million, which is a very nice number, and we are quite proud about reaching this historical high level. The organic sales growth increased to 11.7%. This is without acquisitions and without the FX effects. We will talk about later more in detail about that. The adjusted EBIT in Q2 2018 came in at 23.8 million euros, which is roughly 3 million lower than previous year with 26.7, or percentage-wise down by 10.9%. But, and this is really important, sequentially higher than Q1 with 20.3 million. The adjusted EBIT margin came in at 6.9%, previous year was 8.9%, and this is, of course, lower than anticipated on our end. And last bullet point here, the burden from increased operating costs related to the restructuring and realignment of our production network in US, coinciding with this really sharp steel price increase in North America. Of course, this was the same for the first half of this year. On the next three slides, Matthias will explain that even more in detail and showing some graphs to explain that more in detail. So, Matthias, I would like to hand over to you.
Yes, thank you, Detlef, and good morning and a very warm welcome from my side as well. With these introductory comments from Detlef, let's take a closer look on page 6 at the composition of sales in the second quarter. As you've already heard, our top line increased by 15% to 345.4 million, including the contributions from Orlandi and York, namely 21.1 million. While we do not intend to publish numbers for Orlandi and York each and every quarter, we felt it appropriate to give you some further insight beyond the sum of 21.1 at this point, because both companies appear in our consolidated financials for the first time in the second quarter. And in doing so, I can share that Orlandi contributed around 7 million euro in revenue for the 3 months that they were included, and York around 14 million for the 2 months that they were included. For Orlandi, this came with the mid-teen margin that we had already shared with you previously when we announced the acquisition. And for York, this came below group average with a low single-digit margin for the 2 months we have included them for. FX translational effects were still negative with 11.1 million euro or an impact of minus 3.7%, leaving us with a strong organic growth of 11.7% or 35.1 million euro in total. Turning to page 7, what does the sales picture look like across the regions? Well, the overall message continues to be that the positive trend in organic sales growth continued in all regions, with EMEA continuing above 5% at 5.2%, the Americas growing strong at 15.1%, and APEC China at plus 38.3%, with this last number reflecting strong growth on already solid prior year comparables. If on page 8 we move further down the P&L to the adjusted EBIT, let's take a quick look at the reconciliation of the reported EBIT to adjusted EBIT for the quarter. Excluding restructuring and transaction costs totaling 1.6 million and PPA impacts of 2.6 million, the adjusted EBIT amounted to 23.8 million compared to a reported EBIT on the left-hand side of 19.6 million. Before handing it back to Detlef, who will talk about the regions in more detail, I would like to highlight two additional aspects. Firstly, only 0.3 million out of the 1.6 million restructuring and transaction costs come from the Americas region. And secondly, on the PPA item, I would like to clarify that the major impact of this increased number comes from an increase or is resulting from the York acquisition, where we had an inventory step up to be accounted for. At this point, we see PPA at this Q2 level for the remainder of the year. In 2019, this number should start to regress to about 2 million because the impact of the aforementioned inventory step-up will start to wear out. With that, I pass it back to Detlef for the moment.
Mattia, thanks for the detailed explanations. I would like to talk about the Americas more in detail on the following page, page number 9. Matthias will come back and also do some more precise details on that, and then later on I will talk about Europe, or EMEA, and then India and China and APEC. But first of all, probably most important in these days, Americas. So what you can see on the left-hand side is the sales development. As I said already earlier in this morning, the customer demand in North America is still high. Net order intake is challenging everybody in the supply chain. But due to the high market share in the most or the core products we do in North America, we of course benefit from the soaring customer demand. And so organically, our sales grow by 15.1% in North America. Due to the fact that we report in euros and not in US dollar, we have some negative exchange rate effects with minus 9.8%. So in euro base, the sales reported was up 5.3% to reach 123 million euros. Previous year was 116, and this is up 21.1 million euros versus the first quarter of this year. So we've seen increasing development there, which goes definitely in the right direction. On the adjusted EBIT side, further below, you see that finally we turned the tide here into second quarter this year. The adjusted EBIT came in at positive 0.7 million. Of course, this is very disappointing compared with last year, with 7.3 million or respectively 6.3%. But for everybody, in Q2 2017, we haven't had any plant restructuring, plant consolidation in North America. We started with that at that point of time. So we enjoyed both quite good market development plus quite nice margins. But as we already explained, now in Q2 2018, 1 year later, we have the operational expenses, additional operational expenses of 2.3 million. Which are incurred, and that is due to the startup inefficiencies, as we said already. We had still some add-on expenses for express freight and logistic costs, both in and outbound. So that means from suppliers to us, but also from us to our customers to deliver in time and to get all the material to the customers, but also to our factories. And we had also still some compensation payments in accordance to supply agreements for late deliveries. But the biggest piece of it is the steel price, which burdened us with 4.3 million, which is a very high number. But as I said, we see now finally a successive margin improvement versus Q1 this year with minus 0.7%. On the next two pages, Matthias will explain that even more in detail. so that you have a very full transparency, high transparency on the Americas development.
Yes, thank you. That left, like in previous quarters, where we would like to provide additional insight into the burdening effects on the adjusted EBIT of the Americas region for the quarter. So you see the usual depiction of the additional impacts on our adjusted EBIT here, with the overall additional operating expenses, as Detlef said, having come down to 2.3 million euro compared to the 3.9 million that we had in the first quarter. You see how they are made up on the slide. Here we use the term customer debits. Detlef referred to this as the compensation payments, for example, for late delivery, and the expedited freight and plant efficiencies of minus 1.8, giving us the sum of 2.3. What I would also like to point out at this point in time is that while certainly some of these logistical challenges are homemade and are caused by our own plant consolidation and the subsequent streamlining of processes, this also all happens in an environment or an industry for that matter with an increasingly disrupted supply chain at this point in time. Additionally, we have now added on the right-hand side the impact of the steel price amounting to 4.3 million euro. The impact of this was 2 million in the first quarter. This explains, in sum, why our improvements on the add-on operating expenses do not fully drop through to the bottom line, because our improvements are outperformed or outweighed by the steel price increases. If one were to eliminate both effects for a second, one could see that our business in the Americas continued to improve on a pure operating basis. Before moving on to the next slide, allow me one technical comment in case some of you chew on the numbers or the reconciliation on this chart from left to right. It just so happens that this works out from Q2 2017 to Q2 2018 on the bottom line, because the region at this point is only a little bit above the break-even point, which means that the earnings growth does not contribute a lot of additional adjusted EBIT, which is why this bridge works out as a sum from left to right. But this is more technical in nature to enhance your understanding of the slide. Turning to page 11 now, I would like to talk about the development of the add-on operating costs over time. While the overall cost situation resulting from the inefficiencies of our realignment and the ramp-up of our production network continues to be unsatisfying, with our measures still ongoing, and Detlef will comment on that in just a second, this slide shows the successive improvements since our low point in the fourth quarter of 2017, and now with the return to positive territory with a profitability of 0.6% in the second quarter of 2018. So while the improvements are taking time, we do what we say and we keep working hard on it. And with that, I pass it back to Detlef with the question what the next steps in the execution of our action plan are.
Yeah, with that, I would like to go to page number 12. With the headline Management Action Plan, we report on that first time in last quarter last year, where we said, okay, due to the challenges in North America, we developed together with the North American team some activities, or let's say a lot of activities. We are working on that. We are absolutely on the right way, and I would like to summarize that with a couple of bullet points here, what we did already and what we are going to do. First of all, sourcing, we have optimizing measures in place. Sourcing is important for us, and especially in these days with, as you know, high steel prices, but especially with a very tight supply chain, sourcing is key. If we don't get material in time and in the right size, then we have issues. So therefore, sourcing is a key activity. We have in Germany implemented already four or five years ago and a planning optimization tool that is digital advanced planning optimization, which we start now in North America as well, which will align sales and order with production and the entire supply chain processes. That helps a lot. We are very successful with that here in our German plants and also in North America. This is to come. With this, hand in hand, third bullet point, optimization of the scheduling process. This is also very important to make sure that we have the right, let's say, orders in the system and can produce on time. That goes hand in hand with enhancing capacity utilization. We are working, let's say, on a full power in all the factories in North America, and we have to, and we are still going on to optimize the existing capacity. Training of employees, it's a key activities. Of course, if you implement new machinery, new equipment, and new plants, then you need to train the people. And unfortunately, we haven't been able in the course of the plant consolidation to bring over the people from the workers from our plants in Holland and Muskegon, which we closed last year. So nobody of them followed the equipment. So therefore, we needed to train our employees in the new facilities, and that takes time. It takes more time than expected, but we are working on that, and that's making good progress. We are planning in the an additional trailer axle manufacturing line. We are working under full capacity utilization in the Warrington plant in Missouri. This plant wasn't part of the plant consolidation so far, and we didn't touch that, but we see with the increasing demand, and you might remember the very nice order we got from a big fleet in North America recently for a fully dressed system, including air disc brake, and all this together with the normal, let's say, demand from our customers on the trailer side. We need to increase capacity, which is, of course, a luxury problem to have, but this comes on top. This will be in place in Q1, at the latest Q2 next year, but we need to do that to serve our customers on time. Focus on aftermarket, also very important. You know, here we make the margins. We reduced already our backlog in the aftermarket. There's more to come. But with better focus on the operation, with higher utilization of our capacity, we also can serve our aftermarket customers much better than in the past. Last but not least, but extremely important from my point of view, one of the most important things are the last 2 months. This is focus on profitability. That means price increase. Now, finally, we put a price increase in place from 1st of July this year. If you will ask how much, I would say it was in the mid-single-digit range, mid-single-digit percentage, all over products and all over customers. And, of course, this will help dramatically in the second half of this year, Q3 and Q4, to increase our overall profitability in North America. And hand-in-hand, we intensified our price pass-on process in North America. All that comes together with an increased support from our German colleagues here, which we sent over and will send over in the next couple of weeks and months to North America. We have some specialists who worked successfully on the plant consolidation here in Germany two and a half years ago. And these colleagues will help our North American colleagues to speed up the processes and to speed up the activities which I mentioned here on this page. I'm very sure, I'm very confident that this will help on top to come to the positive numbers back in North America in Q3 and Q4. So with this, I would like to turn your attention to Europe, which is on page number 13, which is a very nice slide. If you see the sales and the EBIT development in EMEA, and by the way, now we are talking about EMEA without the I, without the E anymore. EMEA is now part of our China APEC reporting structure and not part of Europe anymore. That has to do with the acquisition of York, which we did in April. And most of the business from York having the production in India and in China, but most of the business from them is in the APEC region, and therefore we thought and we believe it makes sense to have India as part of APEC and China and not of, as part of Europe anymore. So therefore we changed the reporting structure on that from now on. In summary of the sales development in EMEA, you see that in the second quarter this year, the sales growth of 11.5% to 177.9 million. Previous year was 159. Of course, the overall macroeconomic and environment is favorable. All markets are positive, except still Turkey is still weak. And UK is showing some first weaknesses, but all other markets are good. Some of them are very good, and we see so far no weakness at all in the European markets, both for trucks and trailers. Hollandi contributed from April on, and on an organic sales basis, without Hollandi, sales was up 5.2% on the year-over-year basis. The aftermarket grows also very nicely, 4%, and that's already from a high basis. That all leads then into the EBIT development, extremely favorable in Q2 2018. We see now an adjusted EBIT of 20.4 million, which is a rise of 17.9%. And the adjusted EBIT margin came in with 11.5%, and previous year was 10.8%. This is supported by a very positive mix, and really we can see that operational leverage. As I said already, we did the plant consolidation 2.5 years here in Germany, and now that's part of the nice development. We can see the results out of that. Also very nice, on the next page, page 14, you see the business performance in APEC, China, India. You see all graphs showing in the right direction, going up. In a summary, on the sales side, in APEC China in Q2 this year, as I said, this includes India now, shows an increase by 86.2% from coming from 23.9% to 44.6%. York contributed in that approximately with 14 million in sales. If we take York out, then we see on an organic basis sales rose by 38.3%. This is mainly driven, this is unchanged by all the new regulatory load limits on commercial vehicles in China, strictly safety regulations. There's more to come. There are new regulations in, will be in place from 1st of January next year and also 1st of January 2020. Making air suspension and air disc brakes mandatory for trucks and trailers transporting hazardous goods. So we see a further increase in that, and that will help both APEC China in terms of sales and also in adjusted EBIT. Adjusted EBIT, that's the last one here in the region, increased to 2.7 million. Previous year was 2.1. Of course, as expected, we have a temporary margin dilution from York. We include in the numbers now, and in total, the adjusted EBIT margin came in with a very solid 6.1%. Previous year was 8.8%. But once again, last year, the sales wasn't that high, was only in brackets 23.9, and then with 2.1 million, the percentage was quite high. A little bit too high, I would say. So the 6.1 are a solid number, a good number. And please have in mind, all this is, especially in China, without almost any aftermarket business. In China, that is purely OE business, which is traditionally lower in margins than the aftermarket. But the aftermarket will come in two to three years, as most of you know. And so now we create the population which we can harvest in the future. Yeah, with this, I'm almost at the end of our today's presentation. On page number 15, you see the summary of the adjusted financial targets for this year and our midterm planning until 2020. On the left-hand side, you see now our new outlook for the financial year 2018. The organic sales, and I'm going to repeat that now, will increase to 5 3% to 7%, assuming, and this is important to mention, stable FX rates and unchanged scope of consolidation. Plus, we see contribution from Volandi and York, now with roughly 60 million in sales. Some of you might remember, after the acquisition, after the announcement of the acquisition, we believed it will be 50 million plus. So the integration of both companies are absolutely on track. The post-merger integration works very fine. And also the sales development from both companies is better than expected. So therefore, we increase also here our outlook to 60 million. Then on the adjusted EBIT margin, we said 8 to 8.5% earlier this year as our corridor for the financial year 2018. We changed it now to a corridor of 7 to 8%. Net working capital and CapEx changed will not change. That will remain with 12% respectively, 38 to 40 million. Last but not least, our outlook for 2020. There's absolutely no change on that. Organically, we will grow the business to 1.25 million plus some acquisitions. So in total, the sales target at the end of 2020 is 1.5 billion with an adjusted EBIT margin of at least 8% and net working capital ratio of 12%. And in this time frame, we will come back to normal levels in terms of CapEx. Yeah, with this, we are done with our today's presentation, and I would like to hand back to Stefan.
So the floor is now open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel the question, press 9* again. So please press 9* now to pose a question. First question comes from Yasmin Sale from Commerzbank. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. So can you please share more details on your EBIT guidance, as the range of 7 to 8% is rather wider than usual? What proportion of the guidance cut is related to the higher than initially anticipated costs or additional costs in the US related to the plant consolidation? And to what extent does this guidance also reflect costs related to the planned additional trailer access manufacturing line, which should be, if I understood this correctly, be finalized in Q1 next year? And what's your assumption for the additional raw material burden in the second half? And also, just to get a clarification, what is the reason for the unchanged CapEx guidance despite the additional trailer access manufacturing line? Thanks very much.
Yeah, Yasmin, let me try to answer the second part of your question, and then Matthias will answer the first part. The CapEx is the cash out will be next year for the additional equipment which we need in Warrington, and it's not finally decided what we are going to do. That means, is it enough just to increase the assembly line, or do we also need to do something on the welding and painting equipment, which will be a little bit more expensive? But all that, whatever we will decide, will be in line with our normal CapEx for next year, which we cannot now say for now, but it will definitely be lower than this year and probably back to normal. So that means I'm going to, let's say, to order the equipment, which takes time. Delivery time for all this equipment is quite long, and therefore it will take until Q1, Q2 before this is really, let's say, in progress and we can use the higher capacity. Regarding the steel price, yeah, this is the $1 million question of today. If we would know that, then of course our corridor or guidance for this year would be not 7 to 8, but, and this is something I believe nobody knows in these days, if the steel price will increase even further in North America, and we are already on an extremely high level, and the increase in the last couple of weeks was much faster than everybody thought this year. So we definitely don't know. It can go even higher. Okay, we can reach $950 to $1,000 per ton. which will be extremely high. Some people are already talking about higher numbers, but it could now normalize in the next couple of months. But especially, as I said, we don't know. So that is the effect for North America, which could be easily a double, let's say, more than 10 million US dollar as a burden.
Okay.
But on the other hand, let me just finish. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we don't know what will happen in Europe and the rest of the world. It could be, and that is what we expect, the steel price will decrease to whatever level. So that means that will be, of course, very favorable. All this is not predictable, and the input, let's say, the demand on that is, as I said, we don't know. So therefore, we said it could be, if everything goes wrong, okay, and we have still a high volume, high sales, which we do not do the price increase for the second half of the year, then there will be high burden in the 31st of December this year, which we can get back next year, but not this year. But everything is fine, okay, if everything goes in the right direction, then the mid-range of the 7 to 8 is possible. But this is really the big question. But maybe, Matthias, you will enlighten even more on that.
Yeah, but let's give Mrs. Steiler an answer or a chance for a follow-up question, because
I think you
just wanted to ask in between.
I was just wondering, so basically the lower end means that everything goes wrong, so we have a further increase of the steel price in the U.S. and no relief from the European activities?
Yep.
And the other way around, so at the upper end, it would be really kind of a relief, also, or say not a significant increase again in the U.S., and on the other hand, also a decline of the steel prices in Europe.
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
And to be perfectly honest, Detlef, you already covered both parts of the question, if I'm not mistaken. At least that is what I wrote down.
Okay.
But Mrs. Steiler, let me just add one thing also for the benefit of the audience, because the fact that we chose the wider range, the broader guidance here, is not to lead you astray or to leave the community with insecurity. It is more also a reflection of our process, and Detlef described that verbally, how we did scenario planning for the second half of the year. And you just summarized the different scenarios leading to the lower end of the range and then more towards the mid of the range and beyond perfectly well. But it is also a reflection of the scenario planning on steel price and everything that comes with it.
Okay, perfect. And so the guidance, obviously, as the ramp-up of the trailer access manufacturing line will only happen next year, does not reflect any costs related to this?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Then, thanks very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so then there is another question, and it comes from Harald Egeling from Otto BHF.
Steel prices again. First, which steel qualities are we talking about? Because I see there are partly big differences. Second question is, have you in July already received some reimbursements of January? Third question, mix effect NAFTA, has this improved versus Q1? And have there been any constraints why this digital advanced planning optimization tool has not been implemented earlier in the U.S. Thank you.
Yeah, let me start to answer a question regarding steel price, which qualities. This is not so easy to answer because we have so many different qualities of steel which we buy. That means we buy sheet material, okay, with different qualities, but we also buy forgings, we buy castings. So there are different qualities which we handle, so there is no one answer, okay. I would say we buy all, more or less all different types of qualities. So we always do the CRU, which is the CRU index, which is very important, and most of the customer contracts are also based on that. Okay. So then there was the other question. I just noted with the advanced planning optimization, we call it APO. We started to implement this in North America recently, not so fast than here in Europe. There are several reasons for that. But basically, now we see that in Europe it works perfectly fine, almost perfectly fine. I believe there is no perfect system, but now we said this makes sense to implement this in North America as well. The little bit issue is in North America, planning of customers is, how to say that, not so easy than here in Europe. Also in Europe, we have ups and downs, and market is volatile, but I believe our customers have a little bit better view into the future to anticipate how orders will come in, what will happen plus or minus in the short and mid-term. In North America, that is very difficult to do. As you know, it is a very volatile market, and to have an advanced product optimization tool in place means it all starts with customers. All the demand is depending on the quality of our customers' forecast. So in North America, that is a problem, as I said, and we are working on that. But we believe, with all the issues we had now, that customers are now more willing to work with us on this, so to implement that. But again, this part of the system is the most important, and in North America, a little bit more difficult than here in Europe.
Okay, thank you.
There was a question of NAFTA mix. Could you explain what you mean with this question?
Yeah, I think in the Q1 figures you outlined a negative impact of close to 2 million mix effects resulting from, I think, you did not serve the aftermarket as you desired. And in the EBIT bridge, the mix effect was not given for preliminary Q2.
Yeah, in a nutshell, not going too much into the details, but the aftermarket we serve better now in Q2, so that is one reason of the improved margins now. And we said that already in Q1, we will focus on that even more. If we have some capacity left for the aftermarket, we squeezed it in, okay, not to a certain, to the extent we should, because as we said, the OE demand is still extremely high, and we would like to avoid any further penalties from customers. But there's, as I said, more to come in Q3 and Q4. We need to work on the backlog on the aftermarket, so to bring it to the lowest minimum until end of this year and the next couple of months. But in a nutshell, the product mix improved slightly in North America due to the higher aftermarket share.
Okay, thank you. And the reimbursement of steel prices, have you seen any so far?
Yes, but not. The problem is a little bit, okay, but the problem is the steel price is increasing and increasing. Okay, we are always running behind. And the problem is here, the especially big problem is, I would not like to talk about problems, but in this case it is really a problem, that the steel price is raised so sharply and so fast that we are really, really behind. And the burden, as you have seen in the numbers, is extremely high. So that means we make something up, but it is far, far, far not enough.
Okay, so it's 0.3, 0.5 for July or whatever you have incurred from reimbursements. So clearly below 1 million.
For July, I don't know, because as I said, we implemented price increases from July 1st, okay, and as I said, in this mid-single-digit number.
Okay.
And this will kick in from since 2 weeks now.
Okay.
For 2 weeks now, sorry.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
And there's another question from Julia Batau from Pesco Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. A very quick question on the guidance for 19, because you repeated it in the press release, expecting 8-9% EBIT margin. There are many, many moving parts in your numbers since the last two, three quarters. What are the elements, the negative elements burdening EBIT this year that you are sure not to encounter next year, basically?
Yeah, that is, I believe, pretty easy to answer. First, it's steel. Okay, we talked about it now for a couple of minutes. This will come to an end, okay, whenever and wherever, but nobody expects that the steel price will increase even more next year, because what will happen if this will increase further in North America, then customers from the steel industry will go to other countries, maybe China, maybe Europe. We also started that already. Okay, that means if we cannot source in North America anymore for, let's say, reasonable prices, then we will import. Okay,
yeah.
Even though we have a 25% increase on tariffs, okay, what we see right now in North America, it would make sense, or it starts now to make sense, to import and paying the tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is one thing, steel price. And the other one is the plant consolidation is an issue, okay, and it's we are slower than expected, but this will be done end of this year, definitely. Okay, that means there will be no burden factors next year anymore, and these are the biggest two challenges this year, which put a lot of pressure on our margin, and this will not be the case next year. So therefore, we are confident with the 8-9% corridor for next year.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Let me add, if the markets will continue. Okay, this is, of course, always important.
Yeah.
But what we can see, and probably you can allow me to add that, what we can see that is that the order intake from our customers, both in North America and in Europe, is strong, as we reported. And for some vehicles, so special vehicles, special trailers, the lead time from our customers is now 12 months and more. So that means they are already confirming orders for the first and second quarter next year. So that might give you an hint that the development, the market development, should be quite positive also next year.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And there's a question from Nicola Krempf from Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank. I have one question on the organic growth increase in guidance. Is this also mainly attributed to the US or also to Europe and APAC? Thanks.
Matthias, were you going to answer that?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. I think it actually goes across regions. It goes back to the point that I mentioned earlier on the organic growth, where I described the historic performance that continued to be positive across regions. So all regions contribute overall to the increase in organic sales guidance, which is great to see. But needless to say that we're certainly making a special effort in North America to improve there as well, to get as much product out the door as the customers demand. I think that would be the fair answer from my side.
Yeah, thanks.
And the next question comes from Philippe Lorrain from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Philippe Lorrain from Berenberg. One question first, perhaps, on your new target for organic growth. I mean, you mentioned 5-7% right now. You achieved a rate in H1 that was stronger than that. Order intake for trailers and trucks in the US are still up, which points to probably also increasing production rates in the following quarters. We understand that all regions have been quite strong and not only the US. So does the 5-7% organic growth guidance for this year perhaps look a little bit conservative? I can remember that in Q1 you mentioned that you were expecting to perhaps adjust the guidance at the time of the commercial vehicle IAA, basically in September. So what's the view right now? Is it conservative, or do you feel that it is really just a realistic guidance?
Yeah, Philip, thanks for your question. Is it conservative or not? Again, we are not in September, okay? We are in July only, but we increased already our guidance here, because we had now seen a very strong first half year. Now the second half should be good. That's what we can see. We cannot go through the roof here for one main reason. Capacity-wise, okay, we are almost at the limits. Okay, that means, and that's not only us, okay, that's the whole, that's the entire supply chain, including the truck and trailer OEs, okay, that is the reason why, as I mentioned, they are now started to confirm orders, let's say deliveries for Q1 and Q2, but also on the supplier base, okay, there is a limit, and therefore Otherwise, the OEs would deliver all this material already this year, but they can't. So therefore, there is a limit in terms of capacity. And secondly, there is a high basis, okay, where we come from now for the second half. So, and therefore, for now, with a 5 to 7%, we feel comfortable.
Okay, thank you. Now, I was just asking as well, because since you were speaking about increasing the price for your components, obviously from H2 onwards, you're going to have as well a price increase, which is going to play out into your sales bridge. So I was just wondering if this 5 to 7% organic growth perhaps is more, let's say, based on what you expect in terms of volumes than more really what you expect in terms of a combination of volume and price.
Yeah, it's always a combination of volume and price. But of course, the price increases we put in place now and which we will put further in place will have some effects on volume, okay? But okay, we will see. But as I said, there is a limit on in terms of capacity utilization. We cannot do 101%, okay? We can only do 100%. Okay, we can do sometimes 101, but this is coming to an end. Again, the 5 to 7% from now, we believe, is a good number.
Okay, great. Then I've got like a follow-up quickly on the startup costs. I was just wondering, did that mean the 2.3 million that you saw in Q2? It seems to me like there is a really this normalization trend playing out here. So how far behind schedule are you on, let's say, bringing down these additional startup costs, or perhaps, how should we think about what you still have backed in the guidance for the next quarters?
Yeah, that's not a little bit difficult to answer, but I would say it's a couple of months, okay? Otherwise, we wouldn't do the profit warning to this morning, and then we would be on track. And as I said, the numbers in Q2, especially in the month of June, are disappointing to a certain extent because we thought June will be better, okay? So we are behind a couple of months, but we know what we do, okay? All the measures are in place, as I've mentioned in my presentation, and we know we're going to speed it up even more, sending some German colleagues over to do, let's say, go the last mile together with the colleagues, and at the end of the year, we will be, let's say, absolutely back on track. That's how we see it. So that means the additional burden and costs regarding operational costs, this is almost now at back to normal, and I see no further, let's say, burdens on that in the next couple of months. Does it answer your question?
Sorry, thank you very much. And one more quick question on the steel price impact. I mean, you mentioned 4.3 million as being the impact in your profit bridge. Now, how do we have to understand that? Because I got from the previous questions that you actually started having a compensation for increasing steel prices from the beginning of this year. So is it kind of a gross effect or is it kind of a net effect? I mean, does it have an impact on the margin, which is exactly the 4.3 divided by whatever you show in terms of sales, or by how much has been perhaps the sales, the revenues been impacted so far by these steel price issues?
Maybe I can take that. Yep. Maybe I can take that. Philippe, it is my understanding from the team that this is the net impact already.
Yep.
So this is already including the normal relief cycle from customers, which was what we were trying to explain in the earlier answer.
But,
okay, great.
And I would like to add, we cannot increase prices, let's say, every month, okay, contractually. That is only two times a year, okay? That means in the middle of the year and end of the year. With some customers, and therefore we said we got some relief, okay? We have a little bit different contracts, but for the majority, especially for the big ones, et cetera, it's only two times a year. So therefore, the big bang came in now 1st of July this year, The next one will be 1st of January next year, but in between, contractually, this is not possible.
Okay, thank you very much for that. And perhaps just the last one, it's just really housekeeping. I mean, you show the margin and the sales for EMEA and APAC China. If we were taking out R&D for EMEA and York for APAC China, what kind of margin would we have seen in your figures now, just to compare basically on an organic basis?
Good question.
I can take that. Philippe, I can help you on your way because I don't want to make it a habit to disclose the details, but I started the topic by disclosing or helping you on your way through disclosing the revenue numbers. If you go back to what I said around the revenue numbers and you do a rough calculation with a mid-teen margin for Arlandi and a low single-digit margin below group for York, let's say somewhere around 4%, just as an indication for your math, then you can work out the impact by doing the backwards calculation. Okay?
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we can't let you go without congratulating you and the French team on the well-deserved World Cup win.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Currently, there are no more questions, but I would like to repeat, if you want to pose a question, please press 9-star on your telephone keypad. And there is another question from Svenja Liebig from Going Public magazine.
Hello. Can you give us some detailed information about your e-mobility strategy, if there is a strategy?
Yeah, certainly. That could take another hour. I try to make it as short and precise as possible. Yes, we have a strategy. We call it Smart Steel. That's the headline for all our activities in terms of e-mobility. But that's not only e-mobility. That means, for example, electrical-driven axles, which we are working on, but also it turns to be talking about automatic coupling. This is very important for autonomous driving. We are also talking about sensoring, that means preactive maintenance, things like that. So if you would like to have even, let's say, more information on that, first of all, you can see it on our homepage, or then I would really recommend to do an extra call on that because there are so many activities on our end to talk about, and we really would love to talk about because this is part of our future. We invest already quite significant in this area. And we will show some hard, let's say, some results, some hardware already in September at the IAA, which is the biggest truck and trailer, or let's say the biggest commercial vehicle show globally, which will be in the second half of September. And so then we will launch a lot of initiatives, a lot of products on that, which is too early to talk about that now. But this will be probably the other big bang on our side. But again, we are happy to have an extra call on that and to give you more insight.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And there are no further questions.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further questions, thanks a lot for joining today on very short notice. And for follow-up questions, please feel free to call the Investor Relations Department anytime. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Auf Wiedersehen. Bye-bye.